Amen. Let's go to Romans 12. I'm going to share the first two verses. First in the King James translation. And we share this often, I know. But as Pastor Clinton taught us, the word is like a multifaceted jewel, diamond. Depending, every time you turn it, you see something different. And we saw something different in this passage of scripture. So Romans 12, first two verses in the King James Version says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. See, there's a purpose for being transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, Paul was speaking to the church in Rome when he said this, and obviously he's probably confronted with some things, but what the Holy Ghost had him share by the Spirit is that the only way we're going to prove God's good and acceptable and perfect will is to change the way we think. So there has to be something wrong, something amiss, something not quite right with the way we think since we became part of the church. Since Jesus Christ became our Lord, since we became believers, there's a problem with what we think. And the reason it's so important is Proverbs 23 in the King James Version says to us, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Set up again. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That lets me know, it should let all of us know, that what we think is critical to our understanding of who we are. Because if we're not thinking right, then we don't have the right thoughts concerning God or Christ. And if those thoughts are off, how can we, and we identify with Christ, well, if we don't know what that means, at any given time, our actions are going to change because our actions are always going to line up with what we think we know. Our actions are always going to line up with what we think we know at any given time. So the change in how we think needs to happen quickly, it needs to happen radically, it needs to happen dramatically, and it needs to be complete. We can't play around with this. Because again, Romans 12 in the Passion Translation, and I'm going to be sharing the scripture a lot, not that I don't think you'll remember, but just to prove some points. But it says, beloved friends, what should our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? What should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. I know I can't hear you, but say total reformation of how I think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Now, that word reformation, it means to put a change into an improved form or condition. So it means something wasn't quite right, and you went through a change and made it almost perfect. It means to amend or improve or change, or by change or form, or removal of faults and abuses. It means to put an end by enforcing or introducing a better method or course of action. It also means to cause to abandon evil ways. All of that is reformation, it's reform, and it's telling us that's what we need to do with our thinking. It's at a total reformation, which means you can do you don't always have to do it full time. You can do it in stages, or you can do it not at all, but it's your choice as to whether or not you're going to completely allow the Word of God to do a total reformation to change the way we think. To totally change the way we think. Every method, every action, every thought, it just needs to be the same. It needs to be different, rather. It can't be the same. Because the Passion Translation says, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? Surrender yourself to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness. We can't live in holiness if we're not thinking holiness. And we can't think holiness if we haven't renewed our minds and changed the way we think to something better. Experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes our genuine expression of worship. So if we don't renew our minds, if we fail to do that, this verse tells us that our worship may not be genuine. Why? Well, because if I haven't renewed my mind, instead of worshiping totally on God, maybe I'm just singing lyrics and thinking something else. Maybe I haven't put my heart into the worship. Maybe I'm just going through the motions. You know, I used to look at people, different ways they raise their hands in worship, you know, and some just, they just go, and others are like, what, my hands are up, okay, they're up, and anywhere in between that. And as I matured in Christ, I realized that just because the hands are up here doesn't mean the heart's up here, doesn't mean my thoughts are up here. Well, what does it mean? It means my hands are up here. And just because my hands are down here, I could put more into my worship and be just as genuine and sincere. I don't have to put on a show. My hands are still up. I'm still lifting holy hands. See, it's a heart-mind thing. As I thinketh in my heart, so am I. If I'm imitating the cultures, excuse me, and opinions around me, I won't allow myself to be inwardly transformed because I'll be too busy imitating other things. That's why it says I have to be transformed through a total reformation of how I think, because that will empower me, and that's the only thing that will empower me to discern God's will and live the life that's satisfying in his eyes, which should be all of our goals. So we have to consider what the Apostle Paul said to the church in Rome. We have to consider that. Because again, he was talking to Christians. And obviously their thinking was about things that were not lining up with what God said. And so they weren't experiencing God's good, acceptable, or perfect will. And Paul's responsibility was to do something about it. And the solution he had for them was to totally and radically change the way they were thinking. Folks, write this down. I had folks do it on Sunday, and we'll do it again. May do it the next time also. But you need to understand that a circumstance is never the problem. It's what you think about the circumstance that's the problem. But a circumstance in itself poses no problem. It's what you think about it. One of the things that I still don't understand, but when I first started playing athletics, And we had, there's only one coach that ever said this, and I had a problem when he said it. He said, what we want to do is we want to protect our home court, and we want to win at least half our road games. And I said, don't we want to win all of our road games? I said, why are we willing to give up half just because we're not playing at home? It doesn't matter to me. It didn't matter to me who I was ever pitted against. I didn't care. I didn't want to know their record. It just didn't matter. As far as I was concerned, there were another player, there were another team in my way of a victory. That's the way I looked at it. Or I should say that's the way I learned to look at it. I had one game where I was intimidated by the arena because I'd never seen an arena like that before. And it dawned on me when I saw how many points we were behind at halftime that arenas don't play basketball. The players in the arenas play basketball. But in the natural, I was in my office and I was thinking about this today. Nobody gets vaccinated for a cold. Nobody gets concerned about a cold. No one does anything about a cold because the knowledge of a cold is it's no big deal. But let it be something with a stronger reputation and we forget who we are in Christ. Someone sneezes, we're all over it. We're all over it. We're casting out. We're laying hands. We're doing everything. But if it's stronger than that, we start thinking about it differently. That's why we need a total reformation as to how we think. But I'm going to read Romans 12, 1 and 2 again in the Passion Translation, but because I want you to see something in here. It says, beloved friends, when it says what should, that means you have a choice. What's coming next is giving you a choice. What should our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? What should be our proper response? There's a choice. You have to make a choice as to what's going to be the proper response. Surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices. That's a choice. You have to think, do I want to do that? And live in holiness, another choice. Experiencing all that delights his heart. Stop indicates you have a choice. When you're driving your car and you see a light going from yellow to red, you have a choice. If it gets red just before you get to the intersection, you have a choice. You see a stop sign, you have a choice. That stop sign, that traffic light, even that traffic officer alone can't make you stop if you don't want to stop. You make the choice. And we need to understand that when we're talking about changing the way we think, we have to make the choice that we are going to change. Nobody can make that choice for us. Paul said, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. That's a choice. The ideas and opinions of the culture around us is not going to go anywhere. They're still going to have their ideas. They're going to have their opinions. And they're going to be all around us. We have to choose what we stand for. And the only way we can do that, or I should say the only way we could stand for Christ like we were designed to do, is if we change the way we think about the things going on around us. And the Apostle Paul says we do it through a total reformation according to the Passion Translation. See, Pastor Sarah, one of the founding pastors here, now she's Pastor Emeritus, and to us she's still Mom. But she had a live call-in talk show, and that talk show was called The Choice Is Yours. So we're lifting a living Christ over a dying nation. And all she did on that program was she would take live calls, and she'd hear from the Holy Ghost how to respond to the caller, and she would share truth with that caller. She'd share with them what the Lord told her to share. Now, the person, the listener, the caller, has to make a choice. What am I going to do with the truth that I just... Well, first of all, what am I going to do with the words this woman just said to me? Do I believe this is God talking to me? And if that answer is yes, are you going to choose to do it? Or are you going to come up with excuses as to why you cannot do it? But all she did was share truth. That's all Pastor Ed does. That's all I do. We go to the Word. We find out truth. We share it. But we're not going to make you transform your thinking because of it. That's totally 100% your choice as to what you're going to do with the truth you heard. It's your choice if you're going to allow it to change the way you think. It's totally your choice. And choice just is just the act of choosing. You make a selection. You look at something, you consider it, you decide, yes, I want this, or no, I don't. That's all it is. It's really that simple. But I think it's clear, you know, from what we shared thus far, that whether or not we renew our minds by totally reforming how we think, it's just a choice. The devil can't stop you. Your peers can't stop you. Your pastors can't stop you. The authorities can't stop you. God won't stop you. He'll let you make whatever choice you want to make. He'll keep telling you what's the right choice to make, but he'll let you do what you want to do. If you look at Job, well, now I don't have time for us to go there, so I'm just going to give you a highlight of it. Satan said to God, you know, that, you know, because God, you know, was telling about how faithful Job was. And God said, yeah, well, he's not faithful to you for no reason. You take the protection from around him and his family, he'll curse you to his face, to your face. And God told Satan that all that Job had was in his hands, only he couldn't touch his life. And Job's family was decimated by the devil. Devil went out on an all-out attack, killed a lot of them, and Job lost a lot of his property. But he made a choice not to curse God. In the midst of all of that turmoil, all of those circumstances, all of that evil, he chose to remain true to who he was and to hold on to his belief in God and his trust in God. Jesus told Peter that Satan was asking for permission. This story always amazes me. Satan goes to Jesus and said, look, I need your permission because I want to separate Peter from you. And Jesus didn't say no. He didn't say no. And he told Peter, Satan asked, I prayed for you. When you're converted, strengthen your brethren. That's all he said. Peter missed it. He did separate himself for Jesus for a little bit of time, but he got it together and he made a choice to come back. He made a choice to do exactly what Jesus said, strengthen the brethren. Jesus didn't make him do it. The devil couldn't stop him. He tried. But why am I telling you this? Your thoughts, what you want to do, folks, is what's going to prevail. What you choose is what's going to happen. And we have to understand how powerful our right to choose is. Because that makes us unstoppable. As I said earlier, no one can stop you from doing what you choose to do. That's why our choices have to be right. That's why our thought processes have to be right. The individual decides whether they're going to go with God or not. It's an individual choice. So the broadcast was, the choice is yours. You can say the choice is mine because it is. Again, as I said, he said, what should be? Surrender yourselves, live in holiness, stop imitating, be inwardly transformed, a total reformation. These are all things we have to allow. We have to make a choice to say, I'm going after them. And then we have to allow them to happen. We have to allow the results of our choice to rework our thinking. If we don't allow it, it's not going to happen. What do you really want to do? Who do you really want to be? Is the question that your choice will answer. Who am I really? What am I going to do? I can't answer that for you. No one, the only one that can answer that question is you. I can answer that question for me, but I can't answer it for you. And you wouldn't want me to because I'd probably give you the wrong answer. Why do you say that, Pastor? I'm not the one with the purpose and plan for your life. So I may try and tell you things to make you fit in what I think I should be doing in my life. That's one of the reasons why God has me praying that each person hear exactly what he needs them to hear. Because it's about his purpose and his plan for your life. Now, given that the choice is ours, there's something that goes with that that we really can't forget and we need to thoroughly understand. Look at Romans 6. Do verse 16 in the Passion Translation. Because, yes, it is a matter of choice, but we need to understand what happens, what we open ourselves to when we make a choice. Romans 6, verse 16, Passion Translation. Don't you realize that grace frees you to choose your own master? But choose carefully, for you surrender yourself to become a servant bound to the one you choose to obey. If you choose to love sin, it will become your master, and it will own you and reward you with death. But if you choose to love and obey God, he will lead you into perfect righteousness. So if you choose to undergo a total reformation of your thinking, you'll become a slave to it, and you'll do whatever is required to change the way you think without question. Without questions. God, what am I supposed to do? He'll tell you, I want you to do this. It's okay, and you go for it. And you do something else, too. When you really made that choice, you don't adjust the choice to your life. You adjust your life to the choices that you make. You're not going to do something different than what God told you to do because it's convenient. If you really chose it, then it doesn't matter what comes up. Your choice takes first preference. Or I should say it takes first place. You become a slave to it. Whatever it says, you do. And as I said earlier, you don't question it. You don't question it. See, if you don't choose righteousness, if you don't choose to renew your mind, anything goes. Because the unrenewed mind has no boundaries or no limits. Whatever it wants to do, it's going to do. And because that mind is in you, it's going to take you along with it. But if you've grabbed hold of that understanding to let the word do a total reformation of who you are and how you think, that will grab hold of you and your life will change. And you'll start thinking, this is the life that I want. This is the life that I read about in the Bible. Finally, I see it. Colossians 3 in the Amplified Classic Bible says, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2. And set your minds and keep them set on what's above, the higher things, not the things that are on the earth. So he said, first of all, he says to us, aim at. That means you need to look and take aim at things that are above, where Christ is. And then set your minds on that. What does that mean, set your minds on it? Let that control your thinking. What's going on up above? That's the way I'm going to act down here. What's Christ doing right now? That's the way I'm going to act down here. Because the scripture tells us, as he is, so are we in this earth. So if we have our affections, our thoughts, our hearts set on things that are above, what we see is what we're going to do. What we see is what we're going to do. And in keeping our eyes totally on things above, folks, all of our other options disappear. We don't have anything else. Why not? We don't see anything else. We're not looking at all the degradation and stuff down here. We have our eyes focused on what's above. So above is all we see, and there's nothing else there. We have no past to grab hold of. We have nothing left to go back to. And that's all because of what happened in 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to read in two versions, the King James and the Stanley. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Stanley translation says, if anyone has entered into fellowship with Christ, a new world has at once opened up upon him. An old world has passed away. That means, folks, if I'm standing right here, and this is the place I accepted Christ, right here, a whole new world just engulfed me. Whole new world just grabbed hold of me. Whole new world just consumed me. There's nothing of the old world left for me to grab. I am totally immersed in a new world. There is no going back. Now, yes, I am now immersed in that world. And since I'm now in that new world, I have to go undergo a reformation. The way I think needs to change. Why? I'm in a new place. There's a new operating system. There are new rules and new regulations. Everything is better. I just need to learn how to function in better. That's going to require me to change my old earthly way of thinking. And I do that by continuing to just keep looking above and doing what I see above. Doing what I see above. Because I'm now in a whole new world. Philippians 2, first 8 verses, King James Version, that if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. To look at your brother or sister and think of them as better than yourselves requires a total reformation of how we think. Look not every man at his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this. It's a call to make a choice. The scripture could very well say, make the choice to let this mind be in you, the same mind that was in Christ, that's in Christ Jesus. Then he tells us about a little about it. Who being in the form of God, thought it was not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Choice. Made himself of, that means he had reputation, and he said, I'm not going to operate based on that. Why? That's not what I'm called to do. And took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found and fashioned as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. What is that, folks? A choice. A choice. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now think about that. Jesus is the Word made flesh. And he had equal standing with God. Equal standing. But he changed his thinking because of the job he was sent to do. He couldn't think like he was equal with God. He couldn't think that he was deity. He had to think like he was a human being, because he had to demonstrate that a human being living a godly life is more than enough to defeat the devil at every turn. He couldn't do that. It wouldn't have meant, I should say it this way, it wouldn't have meant anything if he did that acting as the Word made flesh, calling on his divine powers. No, he operated based on everything that we have to operate with, faith in God. That's what he had to rely on. That's what we have to rely on. When Moses was leading the people, Moses had to have changed the way he thought. He grew up in Pharaoh's house. But when he died, Joshua had to take over. Now, Joshua's mindset was to serve Moses. His mindset was, Moses is God's man. God speaks to Moses. Moses speaks to me. I speak to the people. Now Moses is dead. Now Joshua comes from being Moses' right hand to being God's mouthpiece to the people. Joshua's thinking had to change. So God spoke to Joshua in Joshua 1. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So now Joshua has to go to the place where God speaks to him. He has to change his mindset. He had to go from follower to leader. It's a different skill set. And God told him in verse 7 to be strong and very courageous. And then he told him something key in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. So God said to Joshua, Joshua, this book of instructions can't depart out of your mouth. You need to change to become the man I need you to be to lead these people. You have to change the way you think. Meditate in this book day and night, observing to do everything that's written, everything that's written. And here's what will happen if you do that. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. See, folks, because we haven't fully renewed our minds, we're waiting for God to make us successful, when God has already showed us how to do it. Meditate in his word day and night, observing to do all that's written. You'll make your way prosperous. You'll have good success. But if we don't renew our mind to understand that, we'll still be waiting around looking for God to do something that he's already made a way for us to do. And I can imagine how frustrating that must be when you've given someone your all, and all they have to do is believe you and do it, and they'll have it, and they don't. They need to renew their minds. He said, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed? He said, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. And Joshua took that and ran with it. And he didn't care who he came up against, because he knew wherever he goes, the Lord thy God was with him. Changed the way he thought. Changed the way he thought. And he said something in Joshua 24. So I get ready to close. He said, now therefore fear the Lord. This is verse 14, starting at verse 14. Fear the Lord and serve him sincerely and in truth. Again, he's given us a choice. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're making that choice. We're going to have renewed minds. Me and my house, yes, we're going to have a total reformation of how we think, because we're going to surrender ourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices. We're going to live in holiness. We're going to experience all that delights his heart, and we're not going to imitate the ideals and opinions of the culture around us, because we've been inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how we think. And we realize, we understand that when we choose something, we're choosing our own master. We understand that what we choose, we surrender ourselves to, and that it will become our master. So we can choose, we have a choice. We can choose death, or we can choose to obey God and live in perfect righteousness. So in closing, I'm just going to say this. Deuteronomy 30. It's Old Testament, but it still applies. God said, I call heaven and earth to record this, to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. I have told you that you need to renew your mind by a total reformation of how you think, and I've shown you how to do it so that you can have life. But it said, I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. I saw something different there for the very first time. Renewing our mind by a total reformation of how we think, folks, it's not just for us as individuals. It affects you and your family. It affects our neighborhoods, our cities, our states, our nations, our world. And by choosing to renew our mind puts us in the position to experience verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and thy length of days, that thou may dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, and to us in the new covenant. Yes, we have to go through a total reformation of how we think. And one of the ways we do that is by the choices we make. Father, we thank you. We give you alone the glory, the honor, and all of the praise. Thank you, Lord, that you so love us. You so love us that you want us to get this right. You want us to stop imitating the culture around us. You want us to stay faithful. You want us to prove your good, acceptable, and perfect will. You want that for us. You've made your choice, and now you're waiting for us to make ours. Well, thank you, Lord, that you've put many in a much better place to make the right choice this evening. And we thank you, Father, that the Holy Ghost will give each person understanding of the words that they heard this evening so they can make the right choice. And once they make the right choice, stick with it no matter what comes. And we thank you for the changes that will take place first in them, then in their immediate family, and as we said earlier, to their neighborhoods, their cities, their states, their nations, and the world. Everything will change just because your children made the choice to renew their minds by a total reformation on how we think. Thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just before I let you go, just hang in with me for a couple of minutes. Just in case there's someone out there and you heard what we shared and you're wondering, well, who is this Jesus character? And how do I get a relationship with him? Well, it's simple. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so that's all we have to do is you just make a short confession. So let's do that. Let everyone say, Father God, I believe that you're God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you were buried and went to hell in my place. I also believe that after 3 days in hell, you were raised from the dead. And now you're seated at the right hand of God, waiting for him to tell you to come again. So Jesus, because I believe you are the Christ, I turn to you and I ask you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I've turned from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn to you, and I'm asking you, make something new of me. Well, friend, if you made that confession, as we shared earlier, you just got born again. And the next thing, because you probably still feel the same way, you may feel a little excited, that's fine, but you look in the mirror and you look the same way, but a tremendous change has happened. As I shared earlier, an entire new world just opened up on you and all your past is gone. And you said, wow, that's a lot to remember. We know it is. That's why we have the contact information on the screen. You contact us. We'll send you free information that will clearly explain just what happened to you this evening and who you now are in Christ. And, you know, because you probably have, you know, 100 questions. What do I do next? And we'll let you know. Just contact us. If you have any questions about what I share tonight, use the same contact information. contact me. I promise I'll get back to you. It may not be the same day, but I will get back to you. You have my word on that.